Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome back to SSS4. It's so good to have everyone here once again. Well, before I begin, some announcements for everyone. So the good news is that next week, Pastor will be back. So he'll be teaching SSS4. What are Ben and my responses? Hip hip hooray! He's here to teach, and we are so glad and so happy. So we are looking forward to that very much. Well, in light of that, we have actually collected some gifts for Pastor and Auntie Sally. So initially...
I want to greet you once again.
Speak, Lord, your servant hears. Yeah. Well, what was that? Now... we have collected some gifts, actually for vouchers for Shangri-La. So thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your kindness. And on behalf of the class committee and, of course, Pastor and Auntie Sally, we just want to thank you very much. So we have collected more than $1,000. So anything extras will be given to them as well. Okay? So thank you so much for all that you've done. Now, some of you also prepared video for him. Now, we did not think that Pastor would come back so quickly. So that's why we gave a bit of a longer time for the video. But he's coming back next week. Even so, some of you have already done the video. So what we're going to try to do with whatever videos that we have collected and received, we'll put it together, or we already have put it together, and we'll send it over to Pastor. Okay, so it's a bit strange if we send it to him next week because he's already back. But otherwise, we'll send it to him this week. So at least he'll have a video to look forward to his coming return. All right? Okay, so, well, how are Pastor and Auntie? They are doing very well. Of course, Pastor has still many things to manage, or his health, different indicators. And now, interesting, he has been taking this steroids, prednisolone. So usually, the side effect is that you will put on weight. And there's a thing called a moon face. And basically, that's what it does for some people. But for him, it's the reverse. It has made him lose weight. So right now, he has stated to everyone that his weight is 60 kg. Now, when was I last 60 kg? Primary school, maybe. But he has really become even more lean. Now, has he become more mean? Maybe. Right, but he is now even more sharp, even more able, and his writing, his thoughts are absolutely just right up there. So he's coping well in that sense. So now he's eating, trying to eat a lot. And the doctors believe that basically all the food that he's ingesting goes to the repair of the body that he had over the past 2 months. So that's why they're at. So but this week they're all coming back. So Auntie Sally is the first to come back this week. So we have a combined SSP on Thursday. She will be there. And she's the forerunner to proclaim the good news of Pastor's return. So she'll be there, SSP, and of course Pastor will be there on Sunday. Now we just are so grateful and so thankful. Well, I also have some updates of my own. One of them is 2 weeks ago I asked if you can help pray for my little boy Luke. And thank God he is. He's fine. He has recovered well. He's back to his active self. The family has half a mind to put on a rugby cap for him permanently because he is so accident prone. Every time, always falling down. We just want to make him wear a helmet 24/7. But personally, it's been such a really inspiring time for me. And I'll tell you why. Because through it all, I'm learning a little bit more or for my own children, what it means to watch and pray is that you cannot let up praying. Whether it is at late at night, whether it's early in the morning, we pray because these are our children and we cannot but watch and pray. Now, the other update I have to let you know and for this class is that I'm actually not so well. this time my voice is a bit going already. I don't know how. I think I caught a bug and I was coughing quite a bit. Yesterday, and then last night I was having a fever throughout. Thankfully now it's down, Thankfully, I'm okay for now. I don't know when the fever will come back up. But if you suddenly see the class ends abruptly, you know that I have gone to another place already, right? Anyway, just wanted to explain this to all of you. I'll try as much as I can to teach for as long as possible, and then we will see how from there. Okay? my voice is going. Give me a moment. I have to just... It's because of teaching, the fever. So maybe after class, I'll be miraculously healed. Okay? Well, let's go to God in prayer, and let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we just are deeply grateful for the word that you have given to us. And even now, as we conclude Psalm 119, we pray that you help us understand this psalm so much more. We pray that you help us to really understand what it means to love your word and to know you even more. And Father, we just commit this class into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so let me just try, okay? And we see how far we can go with this. So, first and foremost, we have come to the end of Psalm 119. So we have read 176 verses. And so if I were to ask you this morning, what do you remember of Psalm 119? So let's have a bit of a quiz, okay? One, how many segments are there in Psalm 119? Do you remember? Team A, Team B. How many segments are there in Psalm 119? 20? Many. Many, okay, many, yes. Well done. God pass, you fail. So, there are 22 segments. So, literally, we had 22 lessons on Psalm 119. Now, another question. If you look at Psalm 119, can you name the different ways in which the Word of God is described? So there is obviously commandments, there is law, there is statutes, right? I made a list. Testimonies, precepts, judgments, promise, word. What do you remember of Psalm 119? And perhaps this is the last and most important question. Is there any part of Psalm 119 that you have hidden in your heart? Now that is the most pertinent question. And perhaps for our next SSS 4 gathering, we should have a Bible recitation segment. How much can we recite of the scriptures that is there? Now that would be quite interesting and it's quite worthwhile to check for ourselves. But Psalm 119 has been absolutely amazing. Personally, it's been so good to read the Word of God like this, especially at a time when pastor is away. Because even more so, we realize how important the Word of God is. We live and die by the Word of God. And without the Word of God, we can never hope to progress any way forward. So I learned this also very much, even with the children. So the children, sometimes we do lots of activities. But do you know that activities also can fall flat? Games, as fun as they are, as exciting as they can be, it can still fall flat. Because within the game in itself, within the activity in itself, there is no power. It is only found, power is only found in the Word of God. So we had to practice this very much. I practiced this at battle with leading the children over that side. We practiced this again at our junior camp. And we see the fruits of it all. Why? Not because we have a good team. More than that. Not because we have people with very good ideas. But because underlying it all is none other than the Word of God. So today we read, perhaps, an interesting verse. And I don't know about you, but I've puzzled over this verse for many years. And it's right at the end of Psalm 119. Let's take a read for this, okay? Psalm 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Now, why is this peculiar? In fact, I will call this verse even puzzling. You see, at the end of it all, you would think that this is, here the psalmist has written 176 verses. Meditation done, insights gained. And yet he still ends with this tone of phrase. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Now, so you imagine, if you are a psalmist in Psalm 119, and you are writing a psalm, you have obviously made progress with regards to your journey of loving the Lord's word. You start out with no love for the Lord, then love for the Lord's word, then grow deeper in the Lord's word. And you know, you've even recorded important notes of how one should live before God. The question is, how would you end your psalm? Now, what is amazing is that usually we think that to end a psalm like that, we must end it on a high note, like a climax. So you see people running marathon races, every time they cross the band, the finishing line, everybody always, hands in the air, cheering. Yes, I've done it. I've done it. It's there. Some people climb mountains. You see people, they take photos of mountains, always the hands up in the air, happy like anything. It ends on a high note. But yet here is so different. The psalmist doesn't end on a triumphant cry. In fact, he ends on something that it's opposite of that. It sounds almost dismal. But the question is this really a dismal word? So on the first reading, it seems like, so sad. Lord, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. How do you understand this? And what I'm going to try to help you understand today, it is not that it's dismal. In fact, it is not a climax. What this verse represents is a culmination of all the lessons that he has learned. And it is not a weak note. In fact, it's a very strong note. The way he ends Psalm 119. Well, take a look at this. These words really reflect a culmination of the lessons learned. One, it reflects growth. It reflects maturity. It reflects depth. Now, we've been watching World Cup. World Cup has been going on. Yes? So, some of the people, they score goals. And they always like to do special celebrations. All kinds of stuff. It's glory about themselves. Now, what is uplifting and what's encouraging is you see, some of them are different. Some of the celebrations, yes, I scored or whatever it is. There are some that will go onto their knees and look to the sky and make a prayer to God. Now, that's quite amazing. And obviously, this person shows or displays some sort of maturity and depth. What I am suggesting here today as well, this verse that we read, seek your servant, is really a response out of great maturity and understanding. It is not a gung-ho approach. Yes, I've done it. And then I reached the end. And I love the Lord. No, it's not that. He understands truly. He reflects for us what it truly means to have the Word of God in our lives. You see, the Word of God, if you truly understand it, if you truly love it, if it truly becomes a part of you, what happens in your heart? There's obviously wisdom. There's humility, not self-righteousness, not foolishness or false presumption. It is, Lord, I still need you to seek me out. Now, that is what is special about this verse. And let me just try to help you understand and explain as much as I can before it goes off. But one, what is the psalmist learning? And one word that comes to mind is this word called consciousness. So one, this is a culmination of all the things that he has learned. What is one part of this culmination? A consciousness of God, a consciousness of his word, now also a consciousness of himself. It's very clear. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. What does this mean? It really means a consciousness of God and his word in the psalmist's life. How so? If you read Psalm 119 and these few verses, 169 all the way to 176, you realize that the posture of these psalm, these words, is not very gung-ho. In fact, it's a very humble posture. Take a look. Let my cry come before you. You see, the previous segments, it's always, okay, you know, I make statements, I rejoice at your word, you know, I love your law. But now it changes. 169. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. 170. Let my supplication come before you. And this idea of let, this idea of, you know, deep entreaty towards God repeats itself throughout this segment. Verse 173. Let your hand become my help. Psalm 75, 175. Let my soul live and let your judgments help me. And what does this mean? You see, how he concludes in that final verse, it's really a consciousness of God and his word that is there. So one, he's obviously very conscious of how great the word of God is. 169 tells us very clearly, there's still so much the psalmist does not understand. That's why he says, give me understanding according to your word. You would think that the psalmist really knows a lot. After all this time, after writing 22 segments. But yet, his plea at the end of it all is still, let your understanding come to me according to your word. As he looks into the word of God, and he has actually progressed quite a bit, yet at the end of it all, his conclusion is still, I don't understand so much. Lord, you need to help me understand. You see this part here? He's so conscious of the greatness of God's word. And moving on, we read also, he cannot understand it by his own means. That's why he has to say to the Lord, verse 171, Lord, teach me your statutes. This is a servant of God. This is obviously a scholar in some sense. Yet he still pleads before the Lord, Lord, you got to teach me. Now that is amazing. Look, not only that, he's also conscious of how badly he needs God and his word. 170, deliver me according to your word. He realizes how badly he needs the Lord to deliver him. He needs the Lord's word to help him. 173, 175. Let your hand become my help. Let your judgments help me. He's so conscious of how badly he needs the Lord and his word. And finally, of course, let my soul live. He understands and knows that without the word of God, he would die. You see this consciousness coming up? And it actually flows and trickles down to this idea of, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Now, how do you understand this part? Now, you put it all together. As he understands the greatness of God's word, as he understands how badly he needs the Lord, what it means is this. The more clearly he sees the greatness of God's word, the more clearly he sees his own smallness compared to it. That's why he can conclude in this way. So it's not a conclusion of weakness. Or, you know, Lord, I'm walking astray. It's not that. It's just that as he immerses himself in the word of God, he realizes how small he is compared to God and his word. It's like this. He looks into the glory and the majesty of God. And it shines upon his own wretched state. He realizes that, yes, he wants to love the Lord's word. But as he looked, as he understands and, you know, try to receive the profundity of God's glory, he realizes that he can never be, you know, coming up to the standards of God himself. And that's why he says, I am just like a lost sheep. Because he's now so filled with God's word. Not that he is weak, but he's so filled with God's word, it matures him. It grows him. It makes him a person of depth. And you know, the word of God is so holy, so pure, that everything else pales in comparison to it. That is what the psalmist is experiencing now. You see, it took many years, or rather, it took, is it years, the time, we don't know how long this psalm was written, but it took at least, for sure, a long time for him to get here. You cannot write all these things at one go, because there are different circumstances of life as well. He had to go through a period of time before he even come to this stage. But this is the stage of what we should be looking at as well. Sometimes we think, oh, we love the Lord tremendously. But do we? Not really. Because one big part of it all, we don't understand God's word enough. We think that we are keeping God's laws already. But if you really were to study it, if you really have it a part of your life, you realize there's so much more that is missing. Now, this is how Psalm 119 concludes. But we move on. And before the Lord, he is just like a lost sheep. That's what it means. He is conscious of the greatness of God's word. He is conscious of how badly he needs the Lord. And he is conscious of his own state before the word of God. That's why he will say these words, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Now, I've been asking myself, how do I understand this word a little bit more? And I think that it's quite timely that I became a bit sick while trying to teach today. Because sometimes as young men, or rather as a young man myself, I think I'm still quite young, And we think that we can do everything. We think that, oh, we are so confident, we are so full of ourselves, and that is a struggle. We think that, oh, you know, yeah, it's fine, everything is no problemo. But not true. God sends something like this to realize how weak you are before God. And that's an important lesson to learn. Before God, we are nothing. Before God, we are just like lost sheep. How can we, in any way, describe of our goodness towards God? How can we compare our own faithfulness to God's faithfulness? We can't. Before God, in any comparison, we will always be like lost sheep. That is a true and correct understanding of God. Of course, there's no excuse. We will come to this in just a bit. There's no excuse to, okay, bum off. It's not that. It's just that if you truly understand the Lord, there is no way that man can have any pride with respect to knowing him. Nothing at all. So, we learned this a little bit at the junior camp. One of the days, it was so hard because we had something planned, but it just did not flow. It did not work. It was in the mid of camp, and it was absolutely, I was quite distressed. Why? Because everybody else was looking towards me and say, how? What should we do next? And I wish I could tell them something. I wish I could give a clear direction, but I did not have any direction. And all the more, was I very troubled? Yes. But all the more, I had to learn what it means to seek the Lord all over again. And then, what is the key lesson that came out of it? So, of course, I wrote to Pastor, and Pastor was saying, don't worry. You just press on. You just seek the Lord. You just keep praying. And his word, very simple, very straightforward, but very cut to the heart. He says, God's grace and strength, it will be there. You just trust in the Lord. He will provide somehow, some way. So I remember that night thinking, oh no, how are we going to move on? Whether it's a sketch, whether it's the whole program. So Then I couldn't sleep. 12, 1, 2, 3. And slowly, bit by bit, the Lord's word came. The sense of knowing what to do came. And you know, the Lord did bless. I cannot explain to you how it's done, but to experience the Lord's leading like that is absolutely priceless. But what it means for me at the end of it all is you realize even more so, without the Lord, we will surely perish. Without the Lord's leading, without the Lord's help, we will not make it. And that's what it means. That's why, Lord, before you, what can I say to you to claim your promises? I can't. It's, Lord, I am just like a lost sheep. Seek me. Seek after me as a faithful shepherd. Okay? So, but we must move on. Behind consciousness, this also is very important. And the verse itself spells it for you. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. What's the next line? Seek your servant. Look at this line here. So it doesn't mean that, okay, Lord, I'm a lost sheep. Let me be a lost sheep forever. It doesn't work that way. What these lines reflect is not only a heightened consciousness of God, but yet also a deeper commitment to God Himself. You see, amidst it all, He doesn't lose this thought. Seek your servant. He understands that at the very crux of his life, he is still a servant to God. He is committed to serving the Lord. That's why seek your servant. It's not seek me. When seek your servant, it really means underlying it all, I am committed to serve you always. I am your servant. Seek your servant. So that is the idea of consciousness. That is the idea now of commitment as well. So it comes together. And how does it come together? One, you realize how much you need the Lord. And that's why you're committed to seek the Lord even more. Or to ask the Lord to seek you out so much more. So how does it... Actually, it's all there in the verses. Let me just show what it means. So this cry, at the end of it all, is not one of dismay. It's not one of giving up. It's really a commitment to God. Take a look. It actually flows from the few verses above. 176. Seek your servant. But before that, what is this commitment? 171. My lips shall utter praise. 2. My tongue shall speak of your word. This is what he's committed to do. So it doesn't mean that, okay, I give up. No, it's not. Behind it all, he's still committed to serve the Lord, to praise the Lord, to speak of the Lord, to choose God's precept, 173. To delight in His law, 174. You see, the idea of commitment flows throughout this whole segment. And of course, the next part, seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. You see how it flows now? This whole ending that is there. So this is really not a very sad note. It's not. It's actually a very strong note. It's a very mature note of how one should look at his journey of loving the Lord and keeping His word. If the psalmist would say, "Oh Lord, I love your law," and ends there, well, a bit suspect. Does he really love the Lord and His law? Or is he loving himself? But now this entire verse changes the whole look of what it means to love the Lord. And so, one part, commitment. What he commits to do. But there's one more part behind it all as well. What he commits with regards to his life to the Lord. You read this carefully. Seek your servant. He's not asking, say, "Lord, I will seek you." It's different. He's just entrusting his entire life to the Lord. He's saying that, yes, I understand that I need to do my part to be committed to you. But at the end of it all, I know that my own strength, my own will is limited. I can seek you to a certain level and no more. What I really need is for now for you to seek after me. I will now entrust my life into your hands. Now that is the beautiful picture of it all. It is not, okay, I will seek you, I will seven times a day. Yes, it's all part of it. But now it changes. Now it's seek your servant. And that is the beautiful part of what it means to be absolutely committed to the Lord. Committed to not only serve the Lord, but committed with respect to every single part of our lives. Lord, you take over. Lord, I entrust you with my entire being and my entire life. So, of course, we are looking forward very much to Pastor returning to us. And you know, the sense of consciousness and commitment is very strong. I think you will, once you hear him speak, as he teach, it becomes so clear. He tells us again and again, he is very conscious that truly this is the last leg of his life. And all the more, he is committed to make sure every single day counts. Carpe diem, or whatever that means. Not just the day, but every single morning, afternoon, night. Now, it's almost an everyday thing now, okay? It's every day. Now, at 4 or 5, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m., surely one email from him will come up. Regards to devotionals for the children, devotionals for the seniors, or something else altogether. Something will be there. And that is, and he explains, it's not that he cannot sleep. He can. But all the more he wants to make sure that every single part of his life is committed to the Lord. And he understands, not just in the things that he does, but the very life he has. Lord, you just take over. Seek your servant. And with whatever time that he has, he will do what he needs to minister. So constantly, now, sometimes they got scams. You know scams? So scams is the scam, and I don't know what technology they have. They always try to target the person that speaks most to you. So the scams that I have is from a Reverend Dr. Charles Tan. I keep getting scams from this person. But I think it's because the AI or whatever it is, the algorithm knows that a lot of my emails or a lot of our emails are from him. So they also try to add in their own emails. If you are free for a moment, can I speak to you privately? You know, can you help me buy certain things? No, it's all there. But what does it say? It's just, you know, constantly the commitment to work, the commitment to minister is so clear from Pastor. Even the scam people pick up on it and they try to latch on to it. Now, so that is something that is, we are trying to understand this so much more. Okay? And truly, this is what it means to be committed. Now, I must end on this last part. So, what is the end of it all? So there's a combination of all the lessons that's been learned. There is obviously a consciousness, a heightened consciousness of God, His Word, and our own state. Then there is also the commitment that is there. Now, what is our part for the class this morning? And this word is commencement. How do we understand commencement? Now, we have a video for you. So instead of starting with a video, I thought to end with Pastor's video instead. So, well, let's just try to enjoy the video for a while.
I want to greet you once again, one last time, as you complete Psalm 119. I want to say congratulations. You would have read 176 Bible verses from Psalm 119. Well, the psalmist began with realizing that he can live his life. Psalm 119 is about life and living. He can live his life without God. He can live his life without the Word of God. He can just live his life. But then as he looked at life, he began to realize that there's some people who live life differently. They live with God's Word. They live with consciousness of God. And he compared the difference between a life lived without God and His Word and a life lived with God and His Word. And he decided that he doesn't want to live a life without God, without His Word. He wanted to live a life with God and His Word. That is the commencement of Psalm 119. And from then onwards, as you have read throughout all the 176 verses, you begin to realize that God had provided the most wonderful gift this side of heaven. He has given to us His Word, sometimes called precepts, commandments, testimonies, judgments. Different terms were used, but essentially they all form the Word of God. And so the psalmist commenced his journey of living a life with God and His Word. And he discovered there were many things to learn. He began to realize there were many challenges, there were many problems. They will always be there anyway, with or without God's Word. But he found that when he understood God and His Word, and it became a relevant part of his life, he began to realize that he found wisdom, he found encouragement, he found strength, he found revival, he found insight, he found motivation, and everything else that he needed in life. This was wonderful news for him. And so he determined, through ups and downs, through affliction, through tribulation, he determined, I am going to cling to the Lord's Word. I am going to seek the Lord to ask Him to teach. He's going to just hold fast to the Lord's Word until he learned to love the Lord's Word. Well, this is his journey. So as you conclude Psalm 119 today, let me challenge you to seriously consider commencing this journey of life with God and His Word. You can start anytime. You have taken 170 verses, or 76 verses together already. It'll be wonderful if you can decide this morning, you know, I am going to try. I am going to commence reading the Lord's Word, putting it in my heart, understanding it every single day. And I'm going to bring God into my life. There will be challenges, yes. But if you bring God into the Word into your life, you will also find yourself triumphant, and you will find yourself stronger, wiser, better, deeper. And here's wishing you a wonderful Sunday school class. I'm looking forward to being back next Sunday. God's blessings. Thank you once again for praying alongside.
Yeah. Well, I hope that is a good conclusion of what we are trying to read and to understand. You notice that his room is quite tidy now. And it's very nicely packed. The filming is quite good as well. Auntie Sally has become better at filming. Well, we truly... First, congratulations indeed. You have come to the end of Psalm 119. I should buy your gifts and presents. I have lots of sweets upstairs. Now, what is it when we come to this end of 119? And what is beautiful about everything is that this psalm does not end with this idea of, I have arrived. Now I love the Lord. Now I can speak of the Lord's Word. It does not end like that. It's not say that I have achieved and so and so forth. And it doesn't end with the thought, okay, there's nothing left to learn about God, or there's nothing left to love about God. In fact, it is on the opposite. What it ends with, we read again, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. What it ends with is really this. As he ends, the psalmist still continues to reach out to God. He still has a desire to depend even more on God. He still has a longing to know more of God. You see this, how this works? This is what a journey of loving the Lord's Word is like. It is never, okay, I've done this and that's it. The Lord is so great. His Word is absolutely profound. And if you're on this journey, it is a most special journey. There's so much to discover every new day. Now the challenge is, will you begin on this journey? Will you commence on this journey of reading the Lord's Word, of loving the Lord's Word? And said, Pastor said, you can start anywhere. Now, I was particularly challenged for my own self as I looked at him, of how sharp he has become, of how, you know, how even more a man of God's word he has become. Literally, it defines every single part of him. And I just asked him, can you help me become like that? That was my honest and humble plea. I look at him, I told him very honestly, I don't have that. I don't have that stillness. I don't have that strength. I don't have that, you know, that purpose. Can you help me with that? And he said, yes, you can. You can try. And so he gave me different texts. Okay, memorize. Morning and evening. And he says, your memorization of the Lord's word must be word perfect. You cannot say, okay, what's this word? Where's this text from? Every single part. And if it's not done properly, do it again. Now, that's how you develop a journey, or rather, you can continue in your journey of loving the Lord's word. So morning, you memorize. Evening, you review. Not again, not good, go back again. Morning, evening. And that's how the word of God will fill your lives. And this is our challenge for every single person here. We've ended Psalm 119, but is this the end of our journey of pursuing the Lord's word? Far from it. Our prayer is instead, Lord, I want to pursue your word, but I realize that on my own strength, I can't do it as well. The prayer is, seek your servant. Behind it all, Lord, I am committed to serving you. I'm committed to loving you. Seek me out. And let me truly become that servant that you will be proud of one day. Okay? So, well, I hope that we've, it's been wonderful to read Psalm 119 with everyone. It's been wonderful to take the class. And the opportunity is really fantastic. And we're so thankful. Once again, we don't forget when we first started, when Pastor was away, was that you were supposed to help us to become better pastors through interacting with us, through giving us your guidance. And we just want to say that it has been such a wonderful time learning together with you, relating to you. Okay? Okay, well, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the reading of Psalm 119. We thank you for how these words are truly so precious. But Father, we pray that we will not stop just because we completed this psalm. But Father, may we be even more stirred, even more inspired to read your word, to love your word, to commence this amazing journey of what it means to live according to every single part of your word. And Father, we pray your word will help us in our difficult times. We pray your word will deliver us from our deepest and darkest needs. And Father, we pray and trust our entire lives back into your hands. Seek us. Seek your servants, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.